We sure do love our smartphones so much that we're reluctant to put them down, even when we're driving. And that's against the law in both our states, to say nothing of the dangers of driving while tapping out messages on a little screen. How reluctant? We have some numbers on that today. The results of a survey ordered by the Oregon Department of Transportation and carried out by Southern Oregon University. Survey results will be used to help an ODOT campaign against distracted driving of all kinds in this Distracted Driving Awareness Month. Kelsey Lawson is one of the students who helped set up and run the survey. She is an MBA student at Southern Oregon University and here in the studio with me. Kelsey, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Jeff.
Good to have you here. Tom Fuller's with us as well. He's with ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation, where he's the communications section manager and a former Southern Oregon journalist himself. Tom, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff. Yes, we worked in the market at the same time, you and I.
Indeed. So tell us about the study itself and what prompted it.
Well, we have realized that over the years, the incidence of distracted driving has been increasing in Oregon. It's very difficult to measure because it's really hard to see if someone's distracted and if that was the cause of a crash. But from what we from our statistics, between 2010 and 2014, we do know that there were at least 58 fatal crashes out of almost 17,000 crashes as a result of a driver using a cell phone. The Oregon Transportation Commission has indicated to us that they are very concerned about this, and we decided in December as a communications group to really look seriously at what we can actually do to change this behavior, not just put out another PR campaign, but do something a lot more in-depth and broad-based than that. And so we reached out to the Southern Oregon University graduate class, and they had offered this opportunity to perform this survey, which we are delighted to be able to partner with them. They worked diligently to develop an instrument that would really help us measure what people think about distracted driving and how often they do it.
No, there have been campaigns before, you say?
There are a lot of campaigns around the country. AT&T, for instance, has a very large campaign against distracted driving. And every year during April, we at ODOT and other departments of transportation around the country bring awareness to the problem. But just bringing awareness doesn't seem to be doing the trick. What we believe is that distracted driving is actually an addictive behavior. I talked to one person very recently who said that she was in the car and just discovered herself picking up the phone and checking Facebook because she was concerned about a social group that she was involved with on Facebook. And she caught herself and thought, oh my goodness, what am I doing? But we are so caught in having to check those phones and be connected to the social networks that we do it without even realizing we're behind the wheel. And then it can be too late.
Have you sharpened up the message over time? I ask because I got the mailer that ODOT sends out, the slick pamphlet that comes out every so often for April, and this one shows people happily texting away behind the steering wheel and death sitting next to the woman in the passenger seat.
Yes, our Moving Ahead publication that is produced in that region, Jared Castle, Gary Leeming, our public information officers down there do a masterful job at putting that publication together. I'm looking at it right in front of me right now, doing some provocative covers. What we're doing is going to develop a campaign that involves not only new ways of messaging, such as this cover, but we want to go beyond that and actually change the culture that supports distracted driving. We want to delegitimize distracted driving, and we want to work with peer groups. We want to work with parents and kids. We want to work with teachers. And we're actually putting together a task force that over the summer is going to look at areas like education and outreach, enforcement, policy, and also getting better data on distracted driving. And we're hoping by this time next year we will have possibly new legislation to raise the penalties for distracted driving. We're going to bring in behavioral scientists to talk to us about how to go about helping people change the behavior. This is not just a one and done, let's get a nice message out there. We want to go deep into the culture to see if we can actually change behavior.
We're talking about distracted driving in the state of Oregon with Tom Fuller from ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation, and Kelsey Lawson, who is a Southern Oregon University MBA student. And we'll talk to her about the survey that turned up some really interesting results about distracted driving. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe you have some stories to share about people you've seen driving distracted. I can share a few myself. But also, maybe you've done it yourself, and let's hear those stories. Don't forget, it's first names only. So 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Kelsey, I noticed just a handful of names involved with this project as the organizer. So you and a couple of MBA students put this all together?
Yeah, myself and Angela Durant and a couple of students that we had as guests from Germany came out to do the study with us for the Oregon Department of Transportation.
So talk about the methodology and what it was you did.
So we started out with a baseline of what Oregon Department of Transportation wanted. They told us they wanted to be able to build a new campaign through our research. And so we went back and looked at other studies that were done, like Tom said, about AT&T and State Farm and AAA all did studies in the past. So we looked at their research, and then we tried to find out ways to be more innovative and come up with a better survey that might give us some more information on as to why people are still driving distracted, even though they know it's a problem and even though it's evident that crashes are increasing due to distracted driving over the years.
So how did you get people into the survey? Where did you put it that they could access it, or was it a phone survey kind of thing?
It was not a phone survey. We actually utilized Oregon Department of Transportation's Gov Delivery Service. So as citizens of Oregon and the United States, we can sign up to receive email alerts from the Oregon Department of Transportation. And so Tom allowed us to use that service to send out our survey.
So, and what were some of the things you asked of people?
We asked them whether or not they thought distracted driving was increasing in the U.S. and whether or not they were comfortable sitting in the vehicle with a distracted driver. And it turns out overwhelmingly 69% of our respondents were really, really uncomfortable with the idea of their driver driving distracted. So that means texting or eating or, you know, doing their hair while driving the car. We also asked them how they thought we could change that behavior, and it came back with we could increase awareness, so putting up more signs, doing bigger campaigns, and also increase education and enforcement across the state. So educating teens as they start their driving process, and even educating adults and parents about the dangers behind distracted driving.
So it's interesting. You said 69% didn't like the idea of the person driving the car driving distracted,
mm-hmm.
and yet how many people admitted that they themselves drive distracted?
Over 75% of our participants, including myself, admitted to driving distracted. However, it was interesting that less people drive distracted when there are passengers in the car. At least they claim to drive less distracted.
So let's talk about what then gets included in driving distracted. I mean, if you're just reaching over to turn the radio down, is that included?
I think yes, but I think it's a range there. Obviously, picking up your cell phone, looking at the screen is distracted driving. If you were going to flip through your entire CD collection while driving the car, that would be distracted. But I think just turning the knob up on the air conditioner or the radio doesn't necessarily count.
So it was really a self-identified kind of thing?
I think so, but the Oregon Department of Transportation did have some areas where they thought distracted driving fit in. So eating or doing your hair, doing your makeup, taking off your sweatshirt, reaching behind you to mess with your children, are considered distracted.
Tom Fuller, how did you define those? For example, was it stuff like adjusting the air conditioner or the radio? Did that count?
Well, it's interesting because really any behavior that takes your eyes off the road can be distracting. But as Kelsey said, there is a range because, for instance, if you actually send a text, not only do you take your eyes off the road for that period of time, once you put your eyes back on the road, you're still thinking about the text that you just sent. It takes 27 seconds for you to become fully aware of what's going on in your environment around you. And our research shows that you are actually more dangerous to other drivers if you are texting or looking at social media on the road than you are if you're driving drunk. So it's worse. Your reaction times are actually slower. And you mentioned stories. I almost got taken out the other day by a semi-truck coming the other way on the road. I could see him on his cell phone, and he was coming over the line at me. There were ditches on both sides. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have anywhere to go. Fortunately, he managed to pull his truck back into the lane in time. And just before we went on the air, a person here in the office came in and said, I just was driving down I-5. There was a person with a full-on laptop sitting on the steering wheel as they were driving down the freeway. So I think that most of us common sense know what distracted driving is. You can reach down and turn the radio up without having to take your eyes off the road. So there really is kind of a range, but what we're after are the things like texting, talking on your cell phone without a hands-free device, turning around, those types of things that really take you away from what you're supposed to be doing, your first and only job while you're driving down the road, and that's to drive.
Stories of distracted driving. Welcome here on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk to Tom Fuller from ODOT and Kelsey Lawson from Southern Oregon University. 800-838-3760 to join us in the conversation. That's by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Kelsey, was there a follow-up question in the survey that allowed you to ask people how they squared those two bits of information, where 69% felt uncomfortable with somebody else driving who was distracted, and yet three-quarters of people, even a higher percentage, said they probably did it themselves?
I'm not sure I quite follow your question. I think you're asking, is there a reason why they continue to do it but don't want passengers in
the car? That's the essence of it, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, we did ask them why they continue to drive distracted, and we had a variety of options, including having a busy lifestyle, so needing to stay up to date with everything, or if they have children in the car. And most of the responses came back with simply they wanted to text on their phone or check social media. They're that addicted, like Tom said earlier, to being on their phones.
Really? So did they admit? I mean, did they use the term addiction themselves?
They didn't use the term addiction. It wasn't a fill-in-the-blank question. It was a multiple choice. But so many people clicked on texting and clicked on social media. And in our open-ended question at the end of the survey, they all seemed to agree with the idea that we needed our phones, we needed to be on them, we needed to be around social media.
We have an email comment here from Deb in Talent. She writes, if enforcement officers want to see people texting, talking, and driving, get on an RVTD bus in the Rogue Valley. From that height, looking down at the cars, you can see a shocking number of people driving while texting. And Tom, I know you don't work for a law enforcement agency. You work for ODOT, but there must be some interchange between ODOT and law enforcement. And everybody who has stories like the ones that we've already heard here so far wonders why police don't do stings more often or something.
Well, the Oregon State Police actually are doing something very exciting. Just this last week, in fact, we had a press conference here in Salem on the Capitol grounds to introduce State Police's 40 new unmarked vehicles, where they are driving up and down the freeways in vehicles that don't look like cop cars at all, and they are matching the speed of individuals on the freeway and watching what they do. I watched a video of one just yesterday where 2 minutes into his drive, a senior trooper found somebody using their cell phone while they were driving and stopped them, gave them a warning. It's actually fairly easy to spot when you're not driving a black and white. So that's one thing that State Police is doing. But I know that like in Eugene, for instance, they've got folks that are just standing there on the side of the road watching people as they go by, and then they would be able to take off and actually stop them. So increased awareness among law enforcement. We're in this task force. We've got individuals like from the municipal and circuit courts and from state police and other law enforcement organizations trying to encourage that connection between all those from the very beginning of the behavior all the way through the stop to the enforcement and the penalties to get on the same page to try and be coordinated in our approach.
We have a call here from Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Tom Fuller and Kelsey Lawson.
Quick suggestion. Ask any senior accident responder how many in the last 20 years were distractions by children in the backseat, dissing each other and whatever. I've wondered, and even parents have questioned, the bit of small children having to be in certain seats and face fast, you know, backwards. Anything that adds to a kid, you know, being fidgety and distracting his sister and letting out a scream or whatever.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate it. So, Kelsey, when you asked about distractions in the survey put out by Southern Oregon University, did you get specific about what the distractions were, things like kids in the backseat?
We did have a question in there whether or not, and it was a ranking question, so what people found to be more distracting than less distracting, and they were still predominantly high up with texting and social media, but children and a busy lifestyle ranked fairly high as well.
All right, but texting did seem to be very high up on the list. Was, mm-hmm. Was that the highest?
I believe it was the highest. Okay. Between texting and social media, yeah.
And so what did you find in the survey in terms of people thinking that we needed different laws or different enforcement of existing laws or anything along those lines?
So we did ask a question about the texting and driving fine that is in Oregon right now, and overwhelmingly people wanted to see that fine increase. So we had about 1,500 respondents to that particular question, and over 50% of them said we wanted to see that fine increase. Nobody hardly wanted to see the fine decrease. I mean, as far as enforcement goes, they don't feel like there's any checks and balances with them texting. They feel like they can text and drive down the road, and nobody's going to catch them or stop them, or they're just going to get a warning. So they felt, and we saw this a lot in our open-ended question, that if they actually were written a ticket and it was a big ticket, then they would probably stop doing their texting while driving.
Okay. As the possessor of a driving while using cell phone ticket, I can relate. $240 was it was a pile here. Let's talk to Kit in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I'm a motorcycle rider. I live in Ashland, and I commute across town from north to south, and I live up in the mountains. And I can honestly say that I see distracted drivers and have nearly been killed by several every single day that I ride. And it is a strong consequence. You know, we think, oh, I'm not going to get caught, or oh, I'm going to get a ticket. But for a car, you can run off the road, you can go on the shoulder, you can run up on a sidewalk. For a motorcycle, there's no place to go.
Right, and I imagine you feel very much at other people's mercy when you're out there on two wheels.
Yeah, the danger is not the motorcycle. It's more than ever the guy that's riding or the gal that's riding and not paying attention. And like one of your people had mentioned, I drive up Dead Indian twice a day, down and up, and I have had utility trucks the size of army tanks coming down that are texting, and you can see, you know, two thumbs on the on the cell phone and two thumbs on the steering wheel, and they're in the middle of the road, and it's you know, it's rampant. It is not confined to any gender. I cringe when I hear people picking on teenagers because the adults tend to carry the attitude that, well, I'm an adult, I'm not going to get caught. But it's out there. I just wanted to give my two cents on that.
Appreciate that. Thanks for that, kid. Appreciate it. So, Tom Fuller, I mean, this is a tricky one to deal with the disconnect, though, because the survey shows that people have issues with other people driving distracted and yet continue to do so themselves.
Yeah, there's certainly a social stigma in terms of interpersonal in the car. You've got other people there. You don't want to be seen as driving while distracted. But when you're alone, it just seems to the addictive behavior seems to take over, and we just have to remain connected. And actually, we want to play off that difference between what they do when they're alone and what they do when they are together. And I've got to say that Angela, Kelsey, Simon, and Christina, who did this survey, did a wonderful job. We could not be happier with the way that it was done and the results that they brought. And one of the recommendations that they brought in the survey was that the parent-child connection can be very powerful in curbing this behavior. And the recommendation was to create this sort of pact between them, the parents saying, yes, I do drive while distracted, and I'm going to make a pledge between us that I'm not going to do it anymore, and I want you not to do it anymore. And so they create sort of that agreement together. There are actually apps out there. Technology was another solution that was recommended in the study. It's one app called Lifeline. It's a free app, and you install it on all your family's phones. And then as parents, you'll be able to see if your kids are texting while the car is moving, and so and vice versa. So I think that there's that mutual accountability that, taken to a next level, might actually help us in stopping the behavior.
All right. We certainly know a lot more about distracted driving than we did a few months ago, thanks to the survey executed by the Southern Oregon University students. Kelsey Lawson among them. She's been our guest in the studio here today. And Tom Fuller is with ODOT, and you'll be hearing more from ODOT throughout this Distracted Driving Awareness Month. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care.